This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings, each and every one of you.
Good morning.
What up?
Well, I'll tell you what's up. Nothing makes the cold and misery of winter, especially February, go away like a little hot stove action for the Boston Red Sox,
yes.
Curtis. I was pleasantly surprised this morning upon waking up to learn that
that mofo is hot.
Yeah, it is hot, Wiggy. It appears that Alex Bregman will be a member of this season's Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And for the next 2 years after. Mm-hmm. So, 3-year deal. If we are buying that this is a done deal, and it seems like, based on the reporting,
right.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, based on Linda's Instagram.
And they went above and beyond, baby.
What do you mean above and beyond?
They did less money, years.
They outbid per year. $40 million a year?
Yeah,
but he has an out after year one and year two.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, they spent the money.
No, I'm all on board. I just already know that people are going to end up being like, oh, well, this deal, there's no security for Bregman. The Red Sox didn't do enough, you know? We got him. We got him for next year. That's all I care about.
No, I actually...
If you complain about this deal, just go home.
Well, there are a lot of people. Look at social media.
Really?
Look at the Twitch already this morning.
What are they upset about?
Terrible deal. What? Red Sox didn't give themselves any security.
That doesn't matter.
I know.
Like, this is the thing. We were arguing about this back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, the Red Sox believe that next season, the big three are kicking in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, maybe in the back of their mind, they're dreaming about Vladdy G being available. Whatever. So... worst case scenario, you're paying Bregman for this season, and you're adding that bat that you wanted to add, right-handed bat, and a guy who's won. Did he win two World Series with the Astros, Shaim? I know he won one, but
yes.
I think he may have won two down there.
He did. He won the one with Cora and the one with Dusty Baker.
Yeah, so you're adding that veteran guy who knows how to win. I love it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the move, right, you look at kind of where the Red Sox are, it's like, all right, they're investing to win this year, right? And they still obviously will have them, you know, there's a couple opt-outs or whatever, but if they want to continue to moving forward. And then you said, we'll see what happens with Vladdy next year. But it just goes, I think it's now about, you know, where they were getting major blowback as far as they weren't willing to spend money, they weren't willing to do anything. And then ultimately, don't you think they're going to end up paying Crochet a nice contract when he does become a free agent?
Yeah.
Honestly, I hate to do this. I don't give a crap if you don't like this deal. Mm-hmm. This makes the team this year a contender in the division. And finally, John Henry has invested real money on the product. And I think it is a reaction to the ticket sales. There's a reaction to the ambivalence. And it's a good thing that they had to overpay on a per-year basis. And guess what? Bregman's opt-outs. Does anybody think Bregman's going to hate playing in Boston?
No.
No.
Does anybody think the monster is going to do anything but help him when it comes to his stats?
Nope.
No. So then why wouldn't he re-up after year one? Right.
Get the duck boats ready!
Right. I mean, call me a honk and roach if you want, but my God, don't complain if they're spending.
Listen, I agree with you, Curtis, and we are at the top of the list of those who have complained that John Henry doesn't want to spend money. Well, in this case, we owe him a, you know, strongly worded apology.
No, we don't.
All you got to do is say, my bad, John.
Well, it's not my bad. It's thank you for doing something.
Right. You haven't been spending. You've changed. It's good.
Yeah, getting fans on board.
I love it.
Say my bad. It's all good, you know. We always accept apologies. Yeah. You know, we always can't be right about everything.
But, I mean, if you look at, Curtis, you brought up the Twitch chat, and hello and good morning, and thank you to those who watch this show every day or every other day or whenever on Twitch or on YouTube. But Alan from Nashville says it worked for him. He is online currently purchasing tickets.
Yeah.
So
there are, you know, I think the addition of the pitchers that they added to their roster this offseason. And then, obviously, you know, they talked about a right-hand bat. The hitting was good last year, but the addition of adding another bat just makes them better. So they are now a legit contender for the playoffs, and that's what it's all about when you're talking about baseball and any sport is getting to the playoffs.
So what do you think is the plan to – we talked about it yesterday because of what Alex Cora said, but is the plan – for Devers to take some time off at third base and DH or move to first, and Cassis is going to DH, Curtis? Like, what? You're the baseball guy around here.
Yeah, I think there's going to be – the best news is that Devers and Cassis at different stages have broken down over the last couple years, and this gives you an opportunity to always have a great lineup and have flexibility when it comes to who's at first, who's at third. To me, Bregman is a guy that the Red Sox, every time they won a World Series, whether it was Lowell or whether it was guys like the, you know, that they brought in the 04 season, you had the holdovers of Manny and Ortiz that came in from the Twins. Like, he is a guy at the end of the year that will be a much better Turner than the Justin Turner that they got from the Dodgers. A guy that's been a champion, that knows that this is the extension of Cora. This is a replacement of Bogarts in the locker room. A guy that Cora knows he can trust, that will hold players accountable, and will face the media. Like, to me, this is as big of a signing off the field as it is on it.
And yeah.
According to Passan, he plays second base.
Your mic's not on.
What chime? What, are you speaking?
Is my mic not working?
No.
No.
I can hear that as well.
Oh, that's actually a gift for a lot of people if your microphone is not working this morning. Chime was like...
Oh, he was on the water.
I don't like this deal, Chime. I think Alex Bregman purchased some Girl Scout cookies several years ago in Houston.
Okay, we're working on Chime's microphone.
To Curtis's point, though, a lot of reports early are that he is actually going to play second base, and then he's going to fill in for Rafi.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And for those who are complaining about the $40 million or whatever the number is,
right.
40.
You brought up Justin Turner. I think they paid him $46 million a year for that deal. So that's if you're going to rent guys or you're going to get guys on short deals, that's going to end up being what the number is.
No, I think when you looked at what he wanted initially were, you know, reports out there and who the hell knows, $200 million, and then he got like 156 over 6 years, and that, do the math on that, that's what is that, like 27 or something like that. So he's getting, you know, yearly way up there. I mean, $40 million, that's a high price tag for, you know, you're in Aaron Judge type of neighborhood when you're talking $40 million a year. Yeah, so that's pretty good.
All right. Well, we have a lot to get to. There are accidents all over the place this morning because of the weather. So take that into account. If you got to drive anywhere, go anywhere this morning, there are cars off the road. It's not really here in the city, but when you get north and west of the city, it seems like it is a real problem this morning. This is all turning into, I don't want to jump into your realm of excellence, Curtis, but this is all turning
You have to be more specific.
Freezing. Freezing rain is what is coming soon.
Yeah,
I hate the freezing rain. It's the worst.
I agree.
I'll take snow all day long over freezing rain. Unpredictable. Mm-hmm. You could be driving along and it's just rain, and then all of a sudden, 5 feet later, you're skidding out of control into a guardrail.
It's not even the driving for you that worries me. It's more the walking.
Yeah, that's where you got to be careful.
Black ice, I mean.
Unnecessary shot.
Well, no, for anybody, but especially for you in the city.
Especially your height to weight ratio.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on that this morning. It's a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury will join us at 9 on the Boston Bruins. As they head into or already are into Four Nations territory, Brad Marchand with a fantastic goal for his continent of Canada last night.
Team Canada,
you know what?
I watched a little bit of it. It's kind of like
I like.
It's really, I mean, it's really like no getting into.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, come on!
Yes, I do.
What the hell, Greg?
Yeah, it's like I'm
it's
like,
not. Come on! It'll be cool when it's here in Boston. Right now in Montreal, couldn't care less.
And I'm like, Canada.
Were you watching it on your phone at the Celtics game?
No, I had it.
Oh, please!
I had it on last night.
Yeah. My Canada versus
I like
Sweden.
It.
All right, whatever.
Oh well, he could probably see it in that like private bar for all the folks sitting courtside.
Also, I gotta tell you something. We can get into it later. Wemby. Not that impressive.
He was off last night.
He said the same thing about you courtside.
All the dude does is sit there, load up the paint with his... clog up the paint with his gangly, toothpick-like legs.
When he paws.
And he does nothing.
Yeah, like, he was like, off last night.
Not a great game for him last night.
Yeah, Rich Keefe loves Wembanyama. I haven't seen him play much, but he is long. The real unicorn was out there last night, and that was Porzingis. I think Porzingis ended up with 27. But, you know, another great game by the Celtics. Obviously, getting to see him in person. He was off heat, but he's super long, right?
Yeah.
He's so tall, and, you know, he can shoot a little bit from the outside.
He just doesn't – at least last night anyway, he did not impress me.
It's just funny.
Why
it's just like funny? This NBA player, Greg's like, meh.
So just to keep track, Greg, impressed by Four Nations, not impressed by Wembanyama.
Love Four Nations.
There you go.
Did Marchand look happy playing with his friends for once?
He did. He actually did look happy. He looked very happy.
Yeah.
He really did.
Team Canada.
He happy.
Hey. Yeah.
Prideful.
Yeah. I was whispered to about Brad Marchand. If I share it, somebody going to call for my fire?
No, Keith was still going to get the lion's share of the blame.
But technically, he's focused on Team Canada, so maybe he misses it.
I don't want to step into the.
This is how you lose a job.
I don't want to step into the scoops area because that really belongs to Rich Keith, our midday host.
Right.
But I was whispered to.
And we know how the scoops. We know how the scoops go around here when it's, you know, when somebody steps into the world. That's Courtney.
That's very scary.
Yeah.
This one, I have double sourcing on this.
Whoa.
Ooh.
But.
Oh, you got
is it positive or negative?
I mean, it's not any kind of earth shattering news. Yeah. I think it's interesting. The whisper was that Saturday, before departure for the Four Nations. A one-on-one private meeting. When you're called, when you have a one-on-one with the boss, Curtis, how often is that good news?
Well, it's not good news, especially if then you see more people in the room waiting for you.
One-on-one, private, tête-à-tête,
all right.
Brad Marchand, Don Sweeney, Saturday.
That's fine.
Nothing. That doesn't matter to you.
Probably reassuring him.
Letting him know that everything is A-okay?
Yeah.
Or maybe asking him for a little advice on the rebuild.
Could go a couple different ways.
I have a question.
Could go a couple different ways.
That's a little bit of a, I mean, say what you want. That's a little bit of a scoop right there.
Go pound sand.
Greg, can I ask a question?
Yes.
When did he do that podcast that we played yesterday? Would that have been after Saturday, do we think? Probably.
Yes, it was after Saturday.
Okay, makes that answer a little bit more interesting. about the, have you thought about being traded?
It's a little juicy scoop right there.
It actually confirms what Wiggy and I were saying, where it's like, no, I haven't, because if he had a meeting with Don Sweeney and Don Sweeney said nothing to worry about, then...
That's a good point.
So you don't think they talked about being traded?
Yeah, I think maybe he walked in. Don Sweeney said, Brad, I've seen the reports just like you. Don't worry about it.
So that would mean he thought about being traded.
He probably threw in a pal at the end.
That's a good point, Corey.
Yeah.
He probably like, throw in a pal.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
What a scoop, Greg.
That's a good point,
Corey. You like that one, Curtis?
Oh, I mean, usually you go meet with the GM when you're not going to be traded.
Because what was the last thing he said? He said,
I don't see it happening.
Yeah, yeah. So good point, Corey.
Now, listen,
he said he hadn't thought about it, Wiggs.
I would offer it up.
Uh-huh.
To Brad Marchand or anybody associated with, or to Don Sweeney,
because
this is where we sometimes go wrong. I think in showbiz, if that's inaccurate, let me know.
Yeah.
And I will correct the record.
Yeah.
Call.
I would be delighted to.
Well, I'm tweeting it at Brad Marchand. Greg Hill reporting.
If
1-on-1 meeting, you're gonna throw in there.
Gonna be calling for my job. Yeah. That's gonna be a.
It's
real
gonna
problem.
Be like, I don't know where these radio people in their mom's closets talking about. Me and Sweeney, 1-on-1 meeting. I saw him in the hallway, and that was it. I don't know.
We had a couple pastries and a cup of coffee before I departed for Four Nations.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Curtis, would you like to know where the meeting was?
Halftime. Oh, no. Was it at a coffee shop?
Yep, in the Seaport. Coffee shop in the Seaport.
Is it the same one they were with Sweeney at?
All right. Well, we have a lot to get to this morning. Leeds coming up in 10 minutes or so. And then they set it around 7 if we can cram all the leads in before that. And that is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. And then the news with Courtney coming up at 7:45 this morning. Some, Curtis, for you, for Conspiracy Kurt, some interesting JFK assassination news that appears to be breaking, which we can... get into during the news of Courtney a little bit later on this morning.
Does it have to do with the number?
It does. Yes, it does. And as I mentioned, Mike Milbury will be on this show at 9 on the current state and the future state of the Boston Bruins on a Bruins Thursday. But here is Courtney right now with what is trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. Before I get into sports, great haircut by you. Twitch has already noticed. It seems like you look clean, you know.
It's my...
high and tight.
It's my regular. Every 2 weeks, I go see Nate Dogg.
All right.
Over there at Sims in South Boston and get everything all trimmed up.
It looks shorter than normal.
It does?
Yeah.
I didn't request that. I my only issue ever, and Nate is, the man puts more effort into a haircut than some, you know, novelists put into their great novel. But sometimes if he goes a little tight on the beard, my chins are revealed for the world. But that didn't happen this time. Everything is A-okay, and I appreciate the compliments from Twitch or from you or from whomever.
Nice little fade. Gave you a nice fade over there.
Yeah. And it happened. The Sox got Alex Bregman, it seems. The deal came last night. 3 years, $120 million with an opt-out after year 1 and 2. The $40 million annual salary is $10 million-plus more per year than other teams were offering. The third baseman is a two-time All-Star and double World Series champion who had played his entire career with the Houston Astros. The early speculation is that he would be at second base, keeping Rafi Devers at third.
Now I'm being accused of lying about how tall I am. This person says, I met Greg a few years ago. He's lying about being 6 foot tall. He's 5'10 maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't
say. Yeah, that's a little tall.
That's what Dr. Diana said. Mm-hmm. The doctor measured me. She has a thing up on her door.
With sneakers on?
No, I was flat footed.
Oh, wow.
And I was nude. I was measured, and she said 6 feet. Maybe she wasn't talking about my height.
Oh,
Greg,
God.
If you're 6 feet, then I'm a new pole.
Dear God.
I'm just telling you what she said. Do you want her to call?
Yeah, I would like that.
No, we can just measure you ourselves.
Did she have a little Sharpie there and then put on the door 2-14 Greg Hill?
Right.
Like when you do with the little kids?
Wiggy, it's like when they went into Michael's office and they saw that he had grown when he was measuring himself each year.
6 feet, though. Hey,
pretty
if you're
good.
6 feet, that's... You hit all... You were one of the triple sixes.
Just telling you what
six
she
figs,
said.
6 feet, and 6 inches.
Just telling you what she said.
All right. The Celtics had a good night at home in front of Greg. 116-103 the final over the Spurs. No Jaylen and no Drew. So Jason Tatum took over 32 points and 14 rebounds for
Derek
Tatum.
Very integral in that first quarter last night when it came to that basketball game.
Yeah, and ending on a good note in front of a home crowd before All-Star break. Here's Tatum after the win.
Last game before All-Star is always kind of the toughest. This has been a long season. We play a lot of basketball. You know, we need a break. And, you know, last few years we kind of lost the last game going into the break. So it was important for us to come in here, down a couple guys, and finish off, you know, the first half of the season strong.
There you go.
Yep, the Four Nations kicked off with a 4-3 overtime win for Canada in Montreal. A Brad Marchand goal let Canada go up 2-0 on Sweden in the first period. Tonight, it's Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA versus Finland. Puck drop at 8 in Montreal. And the Subaru of New England Washington's birthday sales event lasts all month long. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
The tweet is officially posted. Greg Hill is reporting that Brad Marchand had a one-on-one meeting with Don Sweeney Saturday.
Oh, boy.
I tagged Elliot Friedman, Spittin' Chicklets, DJ Bean, Kevin Paul DuPont, Hacks with Hags.
Curtis, why are you doing this to me?
Oh, the next two are important. Kamala Harris and Sean Spicer.
Yep. Yeah. We need to be bipartisan. Tia said Bob McKenzie and Shaq.
Wow. I'll definitely tag Shaq in there. Yeah.
I was going to tag Pebbles, but I thought too soon.
No, definitely Shaq. Shaq got his finger on the pulse of everything. All right.
Oh, it's gross out. It's 34. It's raining. Freezing rain. Stay home.
Can you tag Travis Kelce? Because he has nothing going on. So he might be willing to share that.
Yep. Kelce's 15 minutes are up.
The leads coming up next for you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What? Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of here. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
So will they adopt the USD then?
The what?
The USD. Will they adopt the US money?
Oh, the money. US, what did you say?
USD.
Yeah.
US dollar.
Oh, USD. Oh, I never heard it referred to like that. Huh. I also have never heard Santo referred to like that. what?
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
But yeah. Oof. Maybe some more nations. Maybe some unexpected nations.
That'd be true. What's Ghana doing?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like in the Olympics.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson
have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Watching that game last night, it was like, it looked like he was giving it his all just for like one stride. And everything was just like jangly. I just, the athleticism didn't really seem there.
They're both, like, when you're 7'5 or 7'6.
I know, I get it.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
That also end up like the guy in the Pony Express and go head first off the show.
Shime, you would you do it?
Oh, yeah, of course I would.
Sign him up.
My hour.
I'll give it a shot.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it is. Happy Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there.
Friday.
What up?
Happy Valentine's Day, Friday.
Yep.
Did you already get something this morning from Santo, or are you waiting till later?
No, my boys are fast asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. Let me cut this off at the pass, as they used to say in the old days. This is really only for those who watch the program on Twitch or on YouTube. Apparently, I just noticed now in the light, the sweatshirt that I grabbed this morning is covered in dog hair. So no. I get dressed in the dark. I no idea. People tend to be critical of what I am wearing and the way my hair is fashioned and all of those things. So I just want to tell you. Apologize in advance. Didn't realize that the bullet's dog hair was all over my sweatshirt.
Pull your clothes out the night before so you
sometimes
can get
the, I do. Sometimes you know. I do so I don't wake anybody up. But last night I was not able to do that. So
why don't you just get ready in like your living room so you could turn on some lights?
Yeah, I don't like that. I get dressed there, but I don't turn the lights on. But I have to go in and grab clothes, and sometimes I grab them off of a bureau where they have been stacked, and in this particular case, apparently the dog hair was all over.
Oh, yeah. Got a dog. You got to have dog hair.
But we got a lot to get to on the show this morning. I just heard from Shime that Curtis is working remotely today. Is that correct, Shime? So are we able to – is your microphone working? No.
No.
Microphone's not working again, Sean.
No.
Well, maybe something to check before the broadcast. But not, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Hot start.
Are,
am I back? I'm back.
Now you're back.
I'm back. So I just have to like move this arm. It's a bad wire, apparently.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And just people are dumb. They don't. They move my sticky notes. They steal my sticky notes. I hate it.
Okay. Curtis is working remotely today. Curtis, are you there?
Oh, I am. How are you, Gregory?
Excellent. Where are you this morning?
I am in the lovely art studio of Jupiter, Florida, and let me just tell you, domestic air travel has never been better. What a great country we live in. Unbelievable. I love that they tell you the second you get through security, 45 minutes before boarding, that your flight's 3.5 hours delayed. There's nothing quite like it. It was lovely.
Greg, is there like a new company policy that we can just all work remotely now? Is that a thing?
I think so.
Yeah, can I do that too?
I think you can. I think it's the.
I don't. I mean, Shime. There may or may not be. I don't know.
I think we lost them.
Do we lose Curtis?
Gosh.
I don't know.
Don't give it away so soon,
right,
Mitch.
Here.
Oh, okay.
You're there. Okay, we lost you on Twitch though.
Okay.
I haven't clicked a button, and I just want to know how many times did Greg ask you to ask that question?
Never. No. He didn't ask me at all.
I was under the impression. I think Ken had said you were taking next Friday off. I didn't realize you were working in Florida. Is that for the whole?
Yeah,
entire,
I'm in Florida.
Is that the whole week next week also?
Well, I'll be in Monday when you guys are gallivanting in the snowport, and then Shime and I, 6 to 10 a.m., and then I'll be working Tuesday through Thursday, then Saturday with Ken, then I return home for a big Monday show before Wiggy and I fly first class down to Fort Myers.
You're flying here to fly back?
No. You're not.
Well,
that's what he just said.
Oh, okay. All right, you're flying back.
Wow.
Yeah, I have
so
to fly back.
So you come back for one day?
Yep. Well, You gotta get, you know, I'll get new clothes to bring down, and then it'll be a very exciting all right. time.
All right. Well,
a lot of travel.
How is the weather? Must be fantastic down there, Curtis.
76 degrees outside right now, wow. Greg.
Don't rub it in.
Yeah.
I will not.
Are you giving us the forecast for total and utter whiteout conditions from Florida this morning for us here?
Yeah, I'm going to do the Gary LaPierre acting like it's freezing where I am and tell you about the weather forecast. This one's a doozy, but looking more and more like we're not going to get walloped with snow.
Like what, 2 to 4 inches or something like that?
Yeah. Up north and west will get maybe. More, but yeah, 2 to 4 inches, Boston Metro, 4 to 6, north and west.
Okay.
I'm over the snow.
Oh, I mean, you're not going to be done with it until mid-March or whatever.
I could deal with the cold weather. I just hate the snow. Yeah. I prefer the nice warm weather of 70 degrees in Florida, but if it's cold out there, no snow, I'm cool with it because people can't drive in the snow, and then it gets you filthy.
Yeah.
You
know? Full squad workout for our beloved Red Sox Monday, Peggy.
Yep.
So spring is here.
They are back.
And back. They're odds-on favorites, depending on who you ask.
Wow.
The Boston Red Sox.
Oh, I did not know that.
All you got to do is make one move. Does John Henry understand this? All you got to do is spend a little bit of money.
Uh-huh.
Take your I know because I have them.
Mm-hmm.
Take your little dinosaur hands and propel them down into your pocket.
Right.
Pull out a little bit of cash.
Right. Right.
And the fortunes for an entire region change. I mean, it's electric.
Yeah.
How Red Sox fans feel after the Alex Bregman signing. Electric.
It's you know how like around here it's all about having teams that are competitive and at least, you know, playoff contenders, because we've seen it so many times whether a team was, you know, a lower seed and get in. And I mean, other than the Patriots where they were always the number one seed, but you see it all the time. Teams get in there and once you're in, they're able to get to a championship, and you want to be able to watch a team that's competitive, especially towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right? You know, who wants to sit there and watch the Red Sox when they're, you know, 15 games out and they got no chance of making the postseason?
No,
Didn't yesterday feel like, Greg, that it was like we finally have a summer where we're not going to be wondering if we're going to have to do random top five lists in the middle of July? Like, we actually will have a team to talk about?
And yes, all of those things. You finally feel like you're not going to have a team where you're going to determine, after the All-Star break is over that they need to be sellers, or buyers. Like they as long as you know they can avoid the injury situation, like that's a really really good baseball team, and I don't care. The debate yesterday was raging on whether or not you make Devers your DH, whether where you put Bregman. I don't care.
Keep everybody happy.
I could care less about it.
Right. But you know what I mean? Like if Raffy Devers does not want to move and wants to stay at third, keep him there. And if Alex Bregman has no worry in moving to second, then put him there.
But I heard Jones say this yesterday. I kind of agreed with him. If moving Bregman to third and, you know, moving, I think he said Rafael at a second gives your team the best infield, why wouldn't you do, like, if you're Alex Cora, isn't it about, like, putting the guys in the best position to make sure that the team...
Who would you rather is moved to a position that is not their, you know, go-to favorite position? Would you rather that Alex Bregman figures out playing second base or Rafael Devers tries to figure out playing second base?
Well,
the better defensive player is Bregman. Right.
Yes.
Well, but like, if you say, listen, you're going to DH and we're going to move Bregman to third and we're going to move whoever to second, the point Jones was trying to make, if you're the manager of this baseball team, you have to put the best players in position, especially defensively, because that's been a thorn in your side for the past couple of years, that are going to give you the best chance to make sure those pitchers have the best guys behind them. So why wouldn't Devers want a DH? Why wouldn't he just – he's already got his money. Go DH, and you don't even have to worry about fielding ground balls at third base.
He may want a DH. The problem is, and Curtis brought this up, I think, yesterday – is that you're paying somebody whatever the Devers number is. Is it 40 like Bregman's Curtis this season?
Yeah, it's over $30 million. You're looking at the infancy of a $300+ million 11-year contract. And you also, Greg, yesterday was a really great example of why so many people hate the media in Boston, because there's all this like fake outrage about, why did you spend this money now? Why on Bregman? This clearly wasn't the plan. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
They did it. They got the guy. He's making the team better. It's an investment. It's what the move signifies more than saying that you think Bregman is all of a sudden the best player in baseball.
Right.
Alex Cora is a guy that made his bones as a utility infielder. He's a brilliant guy when it comes to that. I trust that he will make the decision that is in the best interest of the club when it comes to who's playing where.
Yeah, and I like most of these things. Who cares? These moves are not made for the media. Who cares what they do or don't think about it? It's done as it should be for the fans and for the good of the baseball team. And the message to me is that if you make enough noise and you whine and you don't buy tickets and you don't go to Fenway Park,
right,
then eventually John Henry is going to say uncle and is going to, you know, at some point he said to Craig Breslow, go spend some money.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We have to. So to complain because you got what you were asking for is ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's the way it is around here.
Yeah, so, I don't think anybody should be complaining.
This is David. David, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Great show as always. Thank you.
What's up?
So I'm happy about the signing, but I look at this as being hush money in a Band-Aid. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Listen up, guys.
Yeah.
Just hear me out. So the Band-Aid is you needed to get something else, so you did. You got a right-hand batter. But also, you wanted to shut the Fins up by giving out a lot of money, and you want to make Alex Score happy. That's where the hush money comes in. Alex Score was not happy.
But, again, what is wrong with that? Like, the way in which Curtis is right, the way in which you phrase it is shutting fans up or making Alex Cora happy, great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You're a professional sports franchise,
right,
and you're supposed to do whatever you can to win. And so I don't understand the whining about it.
And it makes it seem better.
Right. Who better to have with all the young stars that are about to be breaking through on the precipice of the big league, their best farm system in baseball? Who better to have around than a two-time World Series champion who, by all accounts, plays the right way and is a leader?
Correct. Yeah. Somebody like, who's done it before, done it successfully, won a couple World Series rings, and that's the guy that you get in here for however long you have him. So,
well, hopefully the pressure's getting a craft, too, as well, you know, for this offseason.
Well,
and he sees, like, all right, you know, the fans are complaining, and, you know, the league sees it. People who talk about our football team, they see it. So hopefully it gets to him just as well as John Henry, and he does the same thing where he says, all right, we got to spend some money to not only does it make the fans happy, but it also makes your team better.
Well, yes, but also to keep up. Like for when the Patriots started winning in 2001, everybody else in the city felt like they needed to do whatever they could to remain relevant and to keep up. And so that's a good thing.
Right.
All those things are good things. Huge win for my U.S. Four Nations team last night, Curtis. I don't know. Did you catch any of it?
So we actually circled over Palm Beach so we could watch the end. It was, in a word, unbelievable. Yeah. The entire plane, every TV was on the Four Nations Cup high fives. They actually they had free booze on JetBlue after the game. Everybody was so happy. Yeah. It was like it gripped the nation.
I mean, the Kachuk brothers are productive,
yep.
I'll tell you.
They are.
So it's USA, USA, USA all day long. Here.
I didn't realize they were the favorites, too, when you said that yesterday.
Did you stand for the anthem in your living room? Or?
Let's see. I think I may have still been out at a restaurant. I was forced to go to a restaurant last night for work purposes. Right. So,
forced?
I was. What am I supposed to do?
What, were you coerced?
Huh?
What, were you coerced?
No. So the incredible people at Tito's
the vodka company, have been proud and longtime supporters of the Greg Hill Foundation and this radio station.
Yes.
And therefore, it's my obligation, as it should be, to go enjoy a celebratory dinner with them.
Stay away from the cops? Stay away from the cops?
It was an Italian place, so what am I going to order?
A lot of cops.
There's nothing without carbs on the on the thing.
Shoot, you were so close, too.
So I know. I mean, it was... I was... Again, what am I supposed to do? Am I going to sit there and not eat anything?
Salad. Salad and protein.
Salad? I mean, you're going to waste a trip to La Padrona with a salad? I mean, I it also isn't filling. Like, a salad is not filling.
Maybe you could have did the chicken parm without.
They don't have chicken parm on the menu over there. It's one of those kind of Italian places.
Oh, I was going to say, without the pasta.
No.
You're screwed.
Speaking of events for work at restaurants, I want to thank everybody that came out to Salt and Stone last night with Screwball, myself, and Mego for Galentine's Day. It was awesome. So many good people there. There was this one woman, Debbie, and her husband had reached out to me on Messenger, on Instagram. And had said, you know, I really want my wife and her friend to be able to come. She listens to the show every day. We listen to the show every day. But we've been married for so long. We don't have any bad, you know, Valentine's Day stories. I said, let me figure something out.
Okay.
And it was so nice to meet them. She was so sweet.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
Everyday listeners.
All right. So basically, that dude got away with a free gift for Valentine's Day.
I don't know about
that. That's what he did.
And the
doesn't
night
seem
off?
Like the type.
That sounds exactly like what happened there yesterday.
And the girl silently judged the woman that said she had a good marriage at the dinner. It was very awkward.
Were there a lot of dudes outside afterwards?
There were some dudes inside.
Okay.
Yeah. Really?
I bet that
some
was a good night for some of those dudes
out
there.
They came with, you know, significant others that just wanted to come and enjoy. But the food was great. The Screwball drinks were great. We had permanent jewelry, a photo booth. It was great.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have a lot to get to on today's show, including the leads in about 10 minutes. We'll get those started at least then. And then they set it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what was said yesterday. We will definitely talk about what Jaren Duran said yesterday and how he delivered this team's version of why not us. So starting it off with a little chip on the shoulder over there if you're part of the Boston Red Sox. Courtney has the news coming up at 7:45. And speaking of Courtney, here she is with what is trending to start this morning.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Busy day out there for your Boston Red Sox. More proof that baseball, Keefe, is in fact not boring.
Never is.
Red Sox get Alex Bregman, 3 years, $120 million, bunch of deferred money, opt-outs after years one and two. For more on all of it, we welcome him, Rob Bradford, WEEI and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which you can find on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Listen to Rob there. Rob Bradford, welcome to Jones and Keefe. How you doing?
McFarland, my friends, McFarland.
McFarland to you.
Yeah, everyone yell McFarland. Yeah, so it's a great day to yell McFarland, and also yay baseball. We finally have something. I told you on after Juan Soto day that this was going to be the guy that they target. And through the roller coaster ride, sure enough, we landed with Alex Bregman. So there you go. I told you.
Okay.
Wow. In our face.
Did you have seriously egg all over our faces?
In your face.
Are the reports, Bradfo, about him playing second base? Is that accurate? Because that's if me and Keith. Well, I'll tell you right now. Both love this deal. I've been wanting him to sign Bregman since early in free agency. I guess, in retrospect, I'm okay waiting and that it took so long, even though I was annoyed in the meantime. But my real nitpicking gripe is him at second base instead of third. Is that accurate, and why are they doing that, if so?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that when we first started talking about it, we've talked about the 9 boxes that it checks off, and I think second base, bizarrely, is one of them because, yes, he wasn't a second baseman, and yes, you're keeping Rafael Devers at third base, but He was a college shortstop. Everybody believes, I think, he can be a really, really good second baseman. I don't think there's any question that he's going to upgrade defensively at second base. But it's a legitimate thing and something that we've talked about with Devers, that you're giving Devers another kick at the can here at third base. But I do think this is how it's going to play out, where you have this guy for 3 years, unless he's insanely opts out of a $40 million a year contract. And you go through this year. You say to Devers, all right, you have Trevor Story at shortstop. Be better. Be better defensively. You keep saying you're going to be. All right, be better defensively. And if you aren't, then next year you move Devers. I mean, you move Bregman over to third. You put one of these kids at second baseman who are Christian Campbell or Marcelo Meyer, and you do whatever with Devers, DH, or you do something with Cassis. And I think that is one of the many reasons why I think a lot of this made sense to me. And so I hope I answered your question, but I get, you know, the whole thing, okay, why are you keeping Devers at third? Well, you know, they were always going to prioritize giving him another shot there.
How good does this make the team? Like, playoffs for sure? Can they win the division? Like, what are we talking about now?
Yeah, man, like, I said this, that it just feels to me, there hadn't been a lot of free agents where it wasn't a luxury item. Like, this isn't Jordan Montgomery. This isn't one of these guys who, yeah, you like the idea of signing him because it shows you're in the big boy club. Yeah, it does that. But what to me it does, it's a real, very real fit because of the position he's going to play, because of the offensive player that he is, because of the presence he's going to have in that clubhouse, which I do think they need. You need some 30-something guys who sort of are the voice in the clubhouse. And also, guys, let's be honest. I mean, it's good for business for the Red Sox, which I didn't understand all along why they weren't seeing something like this. It changes the narrative. You started with the Crochet thing, but that was almost like the supersize me guy eating a Big Mac, feeling good for 50 minutes, and then like lounging on his couch, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what it felt like with the Crochet thing. Everyone was like, oh, that's great. And then, okay, when are you going to sign somebody and spend some money? But here you are. You're paying a guy $40 million a year, or whatever, $30 million with deferred. You're allocating resources. You're showing people that you actually care in terms of being part of the big boys club in Major League Baseball. And by the way, the American League isn't very good. So all of a sudden, you have to be considered with the Yankees as the two favorites, I think, in the American League. All of that is really good for business.
You were talking about Morgan Spurlock.
Oh, Morgan, yeah. Spurlock.
Yeah, he's dead. You know the scene that I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where he was off the walls after eating his McDonald's, and then 50 minutes later, he's like in a food coma. Yeah.
Well, now he's in a food coma in the sky because
I know. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
For going
you brought him up, Rob.
Before I forget, one of my favorite segments that you guys do is obviously baseball related. The random baseball player of the day, right? I love it.
Were you? Because I was just gonna go here, Bradfo, with a Morgan. I thought I was gonna say Morgan Ensberg, maybe a random baseball player of the day, Morgan Ensberg.
Morgan Burkhart.
Morgan Burkhart, great one.
Yeah. Which, by the way, one executive said his best tool is a fork, which I always thought was great.
Same with Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I do think an exercise we can do going through spring training is the random spring training invitee on the Red Sox clubhouse.
Oh.
Because you walk in there and you know, and I can start. We can do this at the end or whatever, but I can give you one and you guys can guess who it is.
We got to guess a guy on the Red Sox roster? We're not going to get that. The 40th guy on the roster?
Well, this is bizarre. You know, when you walk in the spring training clubhouse right now, it's a trillion people. And half of them, you know, half of them you don't know. This is the first time, bizarrely, since I've been coming here, that usually they have the position players on the left and the pitchers on the right. Now the pitchers have leaked into the left, and that tells you there's a crap load of pitchers here.
Wow.
Sorry. There you go.
A lot of pitchers.
Save that one, Renee.
Yeah. So they're leaking all over the clubhouse.
Red Sox pitchers leaking to the left.
This is another issue that they're going to have for sure. What pushed this over the finish line? I heard Breslow say yesterday or the day prior, yeah, it takes two to tango on these deals. Somebody ultimately has to give. What pushed this over the finish line?
Yeah. So what I had been hearing, when let's go back a couple of weeks, the Houston Astros, there's reports that come out. Hey, the six-year deal's on the table. He won 6 years. He likes Houston. Altuve's like, there's these grainy footages of Altuve in the outfield working out. So you're like, oh, he's going back to Houston. And then you don't hear anything. And that was weird. So then what I heard was the Red Sox, yeah, they obviously were in it, but it was they were in it with the monies, but not the years. So you're waiting for a team, are they going to step up for the years? And you heard, well, maybe Toronto will do it. Detroit really, really wanted him. But those are two places I don't think he wanted to go. And I think the Red Sox knew that, and the Red Sox were banking on that. Then you get to the Cubs, where he probably wouldn't mind going, but ultimately they're financially more strained than the Red Sox. So they offer basically the same thing, but with not as much for annual value one more year. So the Red Sox played the market right, I think, all along. It was a little bit of a risk that he wasn't going to go to Detroit, but I don't think he wanted to go to Detroit. Man, that's what it comes down to. And with the Houston thing, I don't have any proof of this, but I've seen it happen before, where sometimes teams, when they have iconic players or players they like, and they're struggling in the free agent market, they leak it out. They said, hey, you know what? Yeah, sure, we're interested. Sure, we're interested. But is it a real offer? I don't know. So I think the Red Sox, this is why this fell to them, and good for them for understanding the market.
Question Jones has been asking this morning, do you think they're done, or is this the could they possibly add somebody before things get going?
No, I think, you know, I think this is pretty much it. I mean, I might be wrong, but in terms of looking at what else they have, I will say this. I'll take that back. They still probably are looking for a reliever. Now, Breslow said on the Baseballs and Boring show on the weekend, he said, though that guy doesn't necessarily have to have closing experience. So there's guys like David Robertson out there, Kyle Finnegan out there. So you're probably still going to get a relief pitcher who can pitch late in games, but that, I think, is the last sort of piece of the puzzle.
Do you think this represents a shift in the way the Red Sox are doing business going forward? Like, I agree with you. I think they're a better team. Maybe they're the best team in the division with the Yankees. So I agree with all that, and this is a Red Sox are back kind of move for this year. Are they back to doing business the way they used to, or is this a one-off?
No, I think that they are, but this comes back to how frustrating it's been. Because the ownership, as we've articulated before, they seem to be chasing their tail way too many times, going back to, oh, we didn't get Jose Abreu, this next, get the next best Cuban guy, who's Nick Castillo. You know, that sort of thing. Oh, we lose John Lester, let's pay $40 million and more than anyone else in David Price. Oh, we like the way Tampa does things, let's go hire someone from Tampa and Chaim Bloom. Like, that sort of thing. And now I think they just reached the point where they understood, like, if for business to exist in this world of baseball, you have to do this. Like, you have to do this. In Boston, you guys know. You do this show all the time. You get the pulse of what's going on. You know the way it was trending, even after the Crochet deal. So I do think that they, with this, allocating this much many resources to this one guy tells you, yes, this is a new philosophy. This is a new way of doing things. And it's the right way of doing things, let's be honest, because you shouldn't be relying on these prospects, no matter how high they're ranked.
Talk yesterday about a six-man rotation. Is that just something you say right now as the guys show up and you have six guys that really think they should be in the rotation and then you whittle that down when the season starts? Or could they legitimately go through the year with a six-man rotation?
I think it's a nice like talking point for spring training, but then when you get into the season, you figure out the schedule, how many off days there are, who's hurt, who needs time. You know, yeah, there might be time where you have a six-man rotation, and they obviously have six starters. But I love the overreaction to spring training stuff, like whether it's six-man rotation stuff, you know, the Jackie Bradley spring training where he's hitting 800 and makes the team. There's always a guy, right? Mm-hmm. Which is one of the great things about this. Every year we say we're not going to get sucked in, and we always get sucked in. And look, Sadan Rafael last year, you know, he's going to be an all-star. Well, okay, he was okay, but he wasn't as good as he was when hitting 85-mile-an-hour straight balls in spring training. So, yeah, so I think six-man rotation sort of falls under that.
Okay, he's Rob Bradford. You can check him out, weei.com. You can check him out on the Odyssey app, Baseball Isn't Boring, podcast there. Talk to Garrett Crochet about his extensive dreaming of Alex Bregman.
Yeah, that was deep.
Oh, what a story that is.
It really.
Yeah, go listen to that.
It really it really was. Yeah. We played a clip from it earlier today. You can go seek that out. And Bradfoe, what do you say next week? We'll start our random spring training invitee of the week. Is that what we're doing?
That's going to be tough.
Okay. I'm going to give you a whole week to think about. I'll give you this player is in the Red Sox clubhouse right now, and he has a record for hitting the most batsmen
in a single year.
The most
so,
hit batsman in a single year. All right,
Aroldis Chapman.
No. Good guess. Good effort.
Thank you. All right. We'll Google that between now and next week. Bradfo, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. I'll see you guys. Thanks.
Rob Bradford, as all our guests joining us here on WEEI.
This changes, Tony, the American League East, because the Boston Red Sox now have a legitimate lineup to threaten that of the New York Yankees, and here's why. The Yankees have lost Juan Soto. Yes, they were able to add in Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt, but Bregman is a proven postseason performer who they can now add into this lineup with Rafael Devers. They've got a promising group of young players coming in like Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer at some point, whether it's this year or next year. And here is what the lineup could look like. It's interesting that we have it on the graphic, and it's a very legitimate question where exactly Bregman's going to play, because he could play second, but that would mean that Christian Campbell would not be in the lineup. If Bregman were to play third, that means Devers is the DH and Masataka Yoshida could be on the move.
John Morosi? Yoshida could be on the move.
Wow.
Imagine the King's ransom you could get for him. I mean,
excited about Yoshida. He got hit the snot out of it during the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted
smacking the ball around.
He wanted a frozen rope to right field on a couple of hops. A
little stinger
in the World Baseball Classic.
First.
Yeah.
He'll give you a nice wide turn. He'll threaten a double.
World Baseball Classic or the International Hockey Beanpot? Don't answer that, actually. We don't need to get sidetracked on this. It's a big day out there for the Red Sox, Keith.
WBC.
We'll
next
do
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Yeah, Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll put a pin in that for Would You Rather Wednesday.
The answer is WBC.
But he says Yoshida could be on the move. You're just eating that whole contract and just addition by some
trade. So that's fine, but doesn't that sort of play into maybe Devers does DH and Bregman plays third? Like, mm-hmm. That's one of those things. I can't imagine the sole reason Bregman's playing second is because you still have Yoshida on the team, who last year they determined cannot play the outfield. They're like, we can't do it.
No, Yoshida has nothing to do with it to me. It's just about, are you going to move Devers or are you not? Does Devers want to move or does he not? Will Henry allow for a $300 million DH as opposed to a third baseman?
But how about this?
Like, that's what it's about.
If they trade Yoshida, do you think Bregman still plays third?
I mean, I would hope he plays third either way.
No. But I'm saying, like, for them,
it would
be
more likely if they made that move that he would move to third. I agree with you.
So I like that. Yes. So shop around.
He also brought up the Red Sox and where they fit in the AL East. They won 81 games a year ago, one game up on Tampa for fourth place. They were 10 games back of Baltimore. They were 13 back of New York. Yankees have lost Juan Soto. Orioles have lost Corbin Burns.
Oh, that's huge.
I mean, is it crazy to say they're the best team in the division?
It's not crazy.
What the win total was revised upwards, like a win and a half or two, depending on where you shop. So they're still only in the high 80s.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a crazy thing to say at all.
So I'm looking at it right now. So Sportsbook Rhode Island, they're all a little bit different, but Red Sox is at 87 for the win total. Baltimore Orioles is 88.5.
Okay. So you're right. You're in the same bucket as the Orioles. Where are the Yankees?
The Yankees are at 92.5
under.
So I would definitely take the under on the Yankees. And then just for giggles, the Rays are 80.5 and the Blue Jays are 78.5.
Yeah. So,
based on this, you are not only above Blue Jays and Rays, you are significantly above them. You're right there with the Orioles, who I still like their lineup and a lot of their young guys, but their pitching staff takes a major hit. I mean, Burns is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball.
Huge.
So, yeah, the way you phrase it is good. You look at what those teams did a year ago, but then you take the best pitcher off of the Orioles and the second best hitter off of the Yankees, which didn't have a great lineup. It was really
also lost like 40 something home runs in Santander.
Oh, good point. I mean, that's another guy they lost.
Santander.
Yeah.
And some good marketing opportunity. They lose all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Red Sox could the Red Sox win the division? I didn't even thought about that, cuz I always just think, can you make the playoffs and go on a run? Can you make the playoffs and just find your way into the playoffs? Can you win 88 games, get into the playoffs? Can they win the division? Damn right they can win the division. How about that?
Damn right.
So, okay. And this is the significance of
Jones,
signing.
They will win the division.
Nice.
There it is. And Keith doesn't even like Bregman.
I don't even like any of the players.
So this is the way that I would phrase it with the Red Sox. Yesterday, we were on the fence whether or not they were in a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like they can win the division.
Look what that does. Look at what a little shot in the arm one signing can do.
Well, it's crazy that they've sat it out for so long when this is so easy. This is so easy for them to do.
Every year there's been guys available like this.
I mean, you could do this every single year. You should do this every single year. Yeah. And it's extra crazy they haven't, but I don't want to dwell on the past. I want to give him credit for this. And I do have little nitpicks about where he's going to play and where he's going to hit and the structure of the deal and why it took so long. I do have little nitpicks about it.
All right.
But overall, this is a player they needed. He's a winning player. He's a right-handed bat that's going to hit high in the lineup. If they play him in the right spot, he's going to help the defense a lot.
Yep.
I really don't see the downside. And to your point, it doesn't create a logjam with any of these prospects. I don't think it should anyway. If you play him at third, Christian Campbell can be your second baseman. Rafaela can play in the outfield. Anthony can play in the outfield. Like, it doesn't create any kind of, what am I talking about? Rafaela will be playing shortstop by May 1st.
Signing Trevor Story when you had Xander Bogaerts and you knew Marcelo Mayer was coming up was a weirder logjam type of signing than Bregman is. Bregman, you could figure it out. He's not here. Even if he opts in every year, he's not even here for a really long time. And there are multiple spots. Like, let's see where he ends up kind of staying. Let's see where Campbell and Marcelo Mayer and everybody ends up staying. Plus, you have the DH.
If they made a move, Yoshida, Abreu, somebody like this, even Cassis, what's their biggest need? What are they making it for?
Well, I guess it really depends on the timetables of Campbell, Anthony, and Mayer. Because, like, if you think they're ways away, like, maybe you do add another player that you can actually use. But I really am hopeful that it's not that long off for those guys. And so, I don't know, maybe you go with another bullpen arm. Because, like, going into the year, you were like, all right, they need to improve their defense. They need another righty bat. And Bregman does both of those things. Well, you're going to say...
Well, no, I was just going to say... And I
think
agree.
Another reliever would
I think
be good.
I think it's still on the pitching side. I know they feel good about their rotation, and they might have a six-man rotation. I still think you could use another starter if you really want to put your team over the top, and I think you have extra bats you could move.
Joining us on the phone now, Lou Maloney, the best Boston baseball guest there is, WEEI and Nesson's own. And Lou Maloney, I'm going to ask you a simple question. $40 million a year, $40 million a year contract... John Henry smoking cigars, posting on social media. Are the Boston effing Red Sox back, baby?
Well, you sure as hell like to think so. I mean, that's listen, life is good. I'm sitting up by the pool. They got Bregman. I mean, I'm styling right now. And they are as well. It helps on so many levels. He's a good player, winning player. Kind of brings the approach you want at the plate, give you quality at bat, doesn't strike out. And then on the financial side, it's like, dude, yeah, you finally – recognize somebody you want, and you went out and got them. You paid a little extra for them, and it just proves to people that maybe they're back into the spending game again, or they are.
So, Lou, just to sort of like from what you understand how the negotiations went down, can you sort of stitch together a loose timeline for us and the fans at large? Because it seemed like Bregman was a no-doubter. Then there was a big ask. Then it felt like Arenado was the way to go. And next thing you know, last night it's 10:40 at night, and bam, Bregman 3 for $120.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think there were a lot of people, like, surprised that it ended up working out. There was really not much communication for a while. Then there was an offer, and I believe it was in that 3-100 range with deferred monies, but there was just, they knew maybe Bregman side Boris, they knew it wasn't the best offer. And when you started getting six-year deals from Detroit and trying to get a five-year deal from the Cubs and Toronto's involved, Houston's involved. It just sort of looked like the Red Sox weren't going to budge off their three-year ask. And if that was the case, it was like up to about 2 or 3 days ago, I had people telling me that they were being more aggressive on Arenado. And it was like, all right, well, Bregman's going to get his 5-6 years somewhere, and then they're going to trade for Nolan Arenado. But all along, it was like these deals were out there for Bregman, and you never signed them. And it started to make you feel like he was waiting for that final offer from the Red Sox, right? Like, he wanted to hit here. It's like Minute Maid, short left porch. Like, he wanted to play for Cora. He kind of, you know, saw the minor league system, saw a couple, and finally, I think they upped it from 100 to 120 and got the deal done.
Lou, it's so good to talk to you. I appreciate you joining us,
Chad.
Man. Yeah, buddy. And it's I'm excited. I mean, I'm from Houston, and the Astros were my team, and I covered Alex down there for a very long time. So I know the player. I know what the Red Sox are getting. But you know, I love the fit from a intangible leadership style influencing this team. I mean, obviously the Red Sox mostly constructed of, you know, a lot of young up and comers, and a guy like him coming into the locker room. What does that mean? You know, for this franchise, can he be a guy that can maybe be, I don't know, the default leader of this team. It just doesn't feel like Rafi Devers is that's kind of his jam. So could you see Alex kind of coming in and being a good, I don't know, professional leader and helping the young guys kind of learn this game?
Yeah, I think immediately. I think it's just when you have the career that he's had already, I think you immediately jump into that position. And you've been seen it before. I mean, Devers is a great hitter. But if it's not his personality, if he's not all the way in on it, that's just not who he's going to be. And I think Bregman is more of that. So it's they just need it. They need some more adults. Right, they have so many young kids, and I feel like just wandering. I picture them all wandering around the room, searching for someone to kind of talk to them about the pitcher they're about to face, or the situation they're about to be in. And I just don't think they've had it, and now they got it in one guy. They have it in Story. He just hasn't been able to be on the field or present enough.
It's hard to be that guy when you're getting hurt a lot too, right? Obviously,
yeah, you can't be. Yeah, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Our guy Lou Merlone joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. So Lou, there's. The pessimist in me is like, well, his best seasons came years ago when they were banging garbage cans down in Houston, but he's been he's been consistently a 25 doubles, 25 home runs kind of guy. What do you think? But then we see the numbers at Fenway Park, and it's like, oh my God, he's the greatest hitter that's ever had 75 at bats at Fenway Park. What is a realistically optimistic projection for what he's going to do at Fenway?
Yeah, I think in that 280, 285 range, kind of who he's been, 25-plus, you know, to 30 home runs. You know, it's most guys like hitting it at home ballparks. They're familiar with it. It's like their style. It's what they want to do. And maybe one of the reasons why he's familiar and hits well at Fenway is because Minute Maid is very similar. It's a pull-heavy place for right-handed hitters. He's a pull right-handed hitter, short porch in left, and he kind of comes to Fenway, and there's no adjustment needed. It's just kind of do what you do. So, but I expect him to be that. I think a lot of people look at his numbers last year and say a down year. If you remember, at the end of April, early May, people were like, this is the year the Astros don't make the playoffs. Like, their entire team was a mess.
Yep.
And he was as well, you know. And then I think it was around May 6th or 7th. If you look, I don't know, the rest of the year, he had 25 bombs in the last 111. Like, the first 30 games, it's just one home run. He's hitting 200. The whole team was a mess. But I just think that's kind of who he is. Now, the struggles against lefties the last 3 years is real. Well, I'm not going to deny that. Like, it's real. He hasn't hit lefties well since 2021. So they got to find out what's going on there. Hopefully they can make some adjustments, because this isn't a guy that struggled against lefties his whole career, but he has the last 3 years, and they're going to need that.
All right, Lou. So potentially, I see next to no downside with the Bregman signing, like so many people, but let's look at two potential roadblocks or issues. And one could be, how would you, Lou Merlone, or how do you think, as friend of Alex Cormann, Alex Cora, I'm Bregman and Cora, sorry about that. How do you think Alex Cora has the, hey, Rafael, how do you feel about moving to DH conversation without actually offending Rafi Devers?
Yeah, and that's the big question. Like, where does he play? I think the room, I don't want to say the room is split, but I have heard from people being like, yeah, he goes right to third. And a lot of that has to do with Christian Campbell plays a huge role in this thing. You know, if they feel Christian Campbell is ready to play second base, then, yeah, he goes to third and Devers, they have that discussion, he becomes designated hitter. But, you know, if Campbell, they don't think he's ready, you're not going to move Bregman to third just so you can platoon David Hamilton and Vaughn Grissom. Like, I don't know why, what's the rush to get him in that lineup, you know? So I don't think he would do that. So we have to see, and that's the interesting part. Like, do you put him at second base the first 2 or 3 weeks of camp to try to get him accustomed to a new position when deep down you know he's just going to third anyway? Like, are we just going to waste time with this? So I don't know. The easiest fit is him just to start at second base, and then eventually, due to injury, you know, I don't think he finishes the year at second. I think he is your third baseman for most of this deal. And then when Campbell is ready, you know, maybe you make that move and you bring him up to second base.
And that's fascinating. I'll be curious. I mean, because I feel like part of Rafi's, you know, contract was him playing third base. Is why he was getting paid that much. Yeah. But that's something that's interesting. But Lou, what else? What else? Anything else? I mean, did they need? Some might say another. You know, still need more right-handed bats. I don't know. We're talking about maybe possibly a closer that they still need. What do they still need in your eyes?
Well, yeah, I think, let's get greedy, right? I mean, we're here. What the hell are we doing?
It's not our money.
So, I mean, I would have loved to have seen another kind of like veteran back end of the bullpen piece. And the only reason is because there is some injuries, right? There's Hendricks looks like he's fine. Whitlock looks like he's fine. Both those guys coming off of injuries. You've got Slayton, you got Chapman. Like, I would feel more comfortable if there was one more guy. Like, free agency, there's a guy like Robertson out there. Maybe there's a trade. I don't know. But I will say this. I was kind of, during today, just kind of hanging out the field, watching all the catchers work out. And I see Connor Wong working and you know, trying to get better defensively from maybe where he was been in the past. But my first thought was, what if he goes down? Like, what if he goes, then what? You know, like, they got this kid, Carlos Narvaez, who was like a AAA guy they like defensively, a nice little backup, but they could use some depth at that catching position as well.
Lou, do you like the position that puts the big three in right now? Feels like now if they blow doors and blow people away, you find a place for them. If not, they go to Worcester, yeah, and they kind of hash it out a little longer, yeah, and then they come up when they're ready. Is this good for them in the long run?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, Meyer's behind both of those guys, only because like last year when everybody got called to the AAA, he got hurt right away and just, yep, missed some time. He's got to stay healthy and need some time. But, you know, Roman Anthony, that's why I said Campbell, the door's not closed here at all. You know, is there a reliever out there? Is there a trade to be made? Do you love the guy so much you're willing to move on from Willie Abreu or turn Seydon Raphael into a super utility player because this kid is just damn that good? And the same thing with Campbell, as we mentioned. Is he that good that we're going to move Bregman back to his normal position and tell Devers he's the DH? So it allows them, if they blow up, they're here. If not, hey, extended spring training in April in Worcester. It's not exactly a fun month weather-wise anyways. Try to get your feet wet. Try to get comfortable. Get your swing right. And in May, we'll see you in the big leagues.
Yeah, Lou, we were talking even earlier about how this is such a best-case scenario dub for the fans as well, because not only are you going to want to watch and listen to and just consume all things Red Sox as well as attend the games, but now all of a sudden, you know, 30 minutes, 35 minutes to the west with no traffic, you know, between the Pike and 290, all of a sudden Polar Park is fielding a phenomenal baseball team where you got, like, literally, yeah, the stars of the future playing down there. But is there, I read this on Twitter, so obviously it has to be true. Just a bunch of, you know, yeah, of course. Bunch of, just, you know, angsty Red Sox fans that are like, yeah, this is going to stunt the kids' growth. Like, doesn't that sound like contrarian thought if ever there was?
Well, to me, it just sounds like people that don't really know what they want because they're tired of the kids. They want to start winning now, and now they're worried about stunting growth kids. Like, the job is to win in the big league level, okay? What are we doing? Okay, there's nothing better. You're jealous of the Orioles the last 2 or 3 years. Why can't we be like them? Well, guess what? You are. You know, when somebody goes down, if somebody gets hurt, you call up the number one prospect in all of baseball. If the second guy goes down, you call up the third best prospect in all of baseball. Like, relax. Build your big league team. Let the kids develop. They're 20, 22, 23 years old. It's going to happen. We're just a bunch of impatient people. And I get it because I'm one of them.
Lou, you're down in Fort Myers. What's the vibe there today? I mean, is there like a bump in energy? I mean, are people, yeah, excited about Alex now being here?
Yeah, there is. I remember kind of sitting home, I think it was like 2000 offseason, seeing that we had just signed Manny Ramirez. And it was like, dude, I want to go to Fort Myers now, you know. And you could see it, you know, because you walk in and I think there is some excitement just when you see like Crochet and Bueller and Chapman walking around. But there just seemed to be this void, right, this bat void. And it's just amazing how one guy just sort of changes the vibe and the excitement, I think. But yeah, you could see it, and hopefully this thing gets finalized tomorrow and he's here.
Lou, I don't want to say that I wasn't totally paying attention, but at one point during this interview I opened my app and I just took the over on 86.5 wins. How are we feeling about my money return on that investment? Good bet.
Yeah, you know, I would say, like, before the Bregman thing, I thought, you know, like, low mid 80s. I don't know where it was before. I don't know how much it's moved because of him, 84, 85, but I just think they went from kind of like, yeah, they can stay in it if they stay healthy, to now having a lot of, you know, like, more depth in case there is that injury to withstand it. So now I think they're pretty steady in that playoff race hunt right now, and that should take more than those wins.
And before we let you go here, we're all in on baseball season. It's sneaking up on us here. We're excited. We want to watch. We want to listen. Where are we going to get our boy Lou Maloney this year? What's the breakdown? Where do I find my guy?
Actually, I don't even know if it's official yet.
Oh, do you not work
any
for
official,
us?
I'm going to, no, like just anything officially as far as like games I'm doing and whatnot. So I probably shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Spill beans.
I feel like
or
I read
whatever
a number,
I know,
though.
But I'm going to be.
It's a lot of games, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but, so I'll see you at Stellwagen and the cast down in Marshfield. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it might have been an unofficial. That was like an unofficial number, Andy, just like the Red Sox have unofficially signed Alex Bregman.
Oh, okay. So we look forward to hearing, seeing Lou Maloney. He's excited. We're excited. Appreciate you joining us today here, Lou, on WEEI.
Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, man.
All right, boys. You have a good time back there. Hey, try to stay warm, will you? I'll be at the pool.
He's around a fun baseball team. He's around a pool. He's probably got a 82. Drink.
Good for him.
I save Fort Myers on my phone as one of like the locations I want the iPhone weather to check in on every day. It is perfect in 82 there today while we're freezing our tips off up here.
It is cold and slushy and wet and yucky. And he's by the pool. Not going to lie, though, I did actually go in and sprinkle a little something on the over of 86.
I watched. You're literally gambling mid-interview now. You've got a problem. Like, it's Ted.
We got to talk about that.
It's time to have a friend intervention when I'm in studio tomorrow.
That's a little scary, 50.
Hey, I'm just optimistic. Isn't that what you do in the year 2025 when you're optimistic about a game or
a team? What was your total? What was your
86
number?
And a half. I took the over.
I like it.
I think I'm fine. They're going to win 90 games.
I don't think the line moved.
I don't think it moved either. That's why I actually did it quick.
I
think it may have actually previously been 86 and a half. They signed Bregman. They have a better team.
Still at 86 and a half. Yeah.
So I'm going to, if you're going to give me money, I'm going to take the money you're giving me. And I feel like they're giving me money. I just have to wait till September, late September, to collect said money.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and people just show up with baseball bats, you know, when you can't give them that money if they finish with 85 wins.
I'm good for it, and they're not going to finish the AA. Yes, Dan?
I know this probably differs sportsbook to sportsbook, but a couple days ago, Covers.com had the Sox at 84 and a half.
We've been talking most of the day about Alex Bregman. We're all excited. Lou Maloney joined us. He's excited. Heck, I'm sure Razor was excited about Bregman joining the Red Sox. Everybody's excited in a little bit.
Except for you.
We're not there quite yet. But at 5:30, we'll talk to Sean Pendergast, your former co-host down in Houston, who knows Alex Bregman and the good things he brings to the table.
He's been covering Houston sports for a very long time, and he'll have a lot of good insights on our new second, third baseman. I don't know.
Our new leader.
Our new leader.
And offensive stalwart, we hope. Who could hit 20-plus home runs. But I just want to point something out. Fitzy knows this. He gets annoyed by this. I like to be objective. I like to paint the whole picture. I don't like to get caught up just too much in the whole groundswell of positivity if there's some issues you need to bring up. And I've actually hired somebody, Fitzy. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
You've actually gone company funds or OOP, out of pocket?
Out of pocket. Personal funds. I hired a voice guy who's going to help me at least get started here with figuring out which game it was last year that Alex Bregman hit his first home run. So let's see how he's doing with the counting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
nope, we're not
9,
there.
10, 11, 12,
all right. All right,
13.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, you go about your business. Keep doing it in the background. We don't have time. You had time on your 15, show.
15, 16,
okay, yep, nope,
17.
Thank you. You
wait,
had time
you're
on your
using
show?
AI Francesa?
18, 19,
nope.
20.
That's not AI,
nope,
brother.
That's real Mike Francesa on a real live radio program counting bowl games in college football. But now we're using him to count. How you doing there, Mike?
21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
Oh, he's close. What was the next number, Mike?
26, 27, 28.
The 26th game of the season last year is when Alex Bregman hit his first home run. Yeah. You know when he hit his second?
When's that?
38th game. No need, Mike. You take the rest. Nope, Mike. Okay. Take the rest of the day off.
29,
no, I don't have any more money, Mike. Stop.
31, 32.
38th game of the season, he hit his second home run.
33,
okay,
34.
Mike. Now you're being annoying, Mike.
We get the point.
I'm just saying it's a little bit concerning that a guy you just handed $40 million to for this season, that, well, technically he's got to wait a while to get $10 million of it, $30 million this season, whatever, took
Everyone's
him.
Everyone's deferred these days.
Yeah, I know it is. I don't care for it. There's a part of me that hopes, Fitzy, Ted, we're still in these chairs doing this job in 5 years, 10 years. I'm not sure I'm going to totally understand when we're like, yeah, Bregman retired 5 years ago, but they owe him $30 million. Wait, what's that now? And then, you should see the Dodgers. They are paying Ohtani through the nose. And, like, he hasn't played in a while. I'm not sure I have the mathematical makeup to come to grips with all that. Anyway, I do have the mathematical makeup to come to grips with the zeros in the home run column for the first 25 games.
Yeah.
Do you guys, and I'm being honest here, I'm excited. I've said that. I led with the excitement. I led with the positivity. I led with he makes the lineup better. Is there any trepidation when you see something like that? 26 games. That's almost a, what's that, a fifth of the NFL season? I mean, the MLB season, sixth of the MLB season. Does that, any concerns there from either of you?
Bitsy? No, not when I look at the Fenway numbers. Ted, you've seen the splits, right? You've seen how his what his OPS at Fenway is?
Oh, yeah. Pretty impressive.
So those 21 games outweigh the 26 where he hit nothing.
And just I want to interject real quick. One thing before you go, Fitzy, is remember when we had my boy John McClain on?
Selective fandom. Yes, sir. I do.
My John McClain on a couple weeks ago. One of the first things he said when I asked him about Alex Bredin was, everybody knows he gets off to slow starts.
That's bad.
Kind of what he does.
That's bad. When you make $40 million and you are the reason on February 13th that 75% of Red Sox fans believe the team is a playoff team, something it hasn't been in recent years. It's been a last place team. It's been a fraudulent contending playoff team. 75% of Red Sox fans now believe you're a contender. You're going to be at least in the playoffs, maybe fight for a division. And part of the reason of that is the $40 million second baseman you just signed. And you tell me he gets off to slow starts. You know where the worst place to get off to a slow start is? In your new place, where you're trying to prove to people you're a leader, you're a core guy, you're a centerpiece guy, right? In the old place, they might go, I've seen this a lot. This is what he does every year. We know by the back end of this. We don't know that here. We don't know that. We haven't lived that. We haven't felt that. So I'm not trying to be the wet blanket on the fun day.
You sure about that?
Yeah,
are facts wet blankets?
Oftentimes, that's why I avoid them whenever possible.
The assumption that he is going to do the same thing at the start of this year, I think, is a little, questionable.
Well, in your world, remember the old likely to be earned incentives? It's likely to be earned that he'll go 25 games without hitting a home run because he did it last year. In the NFL world, they used to do it that way. If you did it the year before, that's what they based it on.
Different ballpark. He's never, he hasn't played in his ballpark full time like he's about to. Right. So that could change. You know, just a new scenery, new coach, new everything. Maybe he's worked on his swing. Maybe it's a little different swing. I don't know. Maybe
that lineup around him, Ted.
Yeah.
Okay, the flip side, so you said it right. The flip side is, the good news is it took him forever to hit home runs.
Yeah.
The bad news is he got hot and he hit 25 over the final 90 games of the season. Yeah. If that guy shows up and if that guy can get hot earlier in the season, I think you can say, okay, he fixed his swing, he got through something, he figured something out, he's in a new ballpark, Fitzy, that he likes even more, maybe that adds 5 or 10%, he's feeling good. If that guy shows up, okay, that's great, because now I got a guy that's going to hit high 30s for home runs, 40 home runs. Who knows where it could go? So, and we're all using numbers. We're all using past performances. What's that line they tell you in investments?
Well, performance does not always indicate future success. Not always an indicator of future success.
It is the indicator, yes. Best predictor of the future is what happened in the past, yeah.
Oh, so you're on my side. You believe he'll go 25
That's the saying.
Games.
You asked what the saying was. Okay. And I was just telling you what the saying was. And I was saying I agree with you.
Is it
a reason to be concerned? Absolutely. I told you, his first 30 at-bats in Major League Baseball, when he first got to the Astros, he didn't have a hit. His first 30 at-bats.
I was just counting home runs. Now you're telling me he goes 30 at-bats without hits.
But that was 2016. That was a long time ago. I get your concern, maybe a slow start, especially in this town. People get on him, blah, 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 blah. So that is definitely a concern.
Dan Ball.
But all not, right. not, I'm, it's not going to keep me up at night.
So this is a trend that's gone for his career. I think you alluded to that before, Andy, but he's a 248 hitter in March and April overall, which is a career low. In the second half of seasons, however, 291. So I can deal with a slow start if it's going to look like that as the games start to move. So,
in the words of one great Marty Schottenheimer, one time told me when we met, he says, Ted, it's not where you start. It's where you finish, son. Thank you very much, and good luck to you.
And that guy never won a
Marty.
Super Bowl.
I know, and I was like,
he never finished the season with a win.
That guy was famous for going 14-2 and then crapping the bed.
Fired, yeah.
That's who we're quoting here.
He was at one time a reputable coach.
Just Dan Ball, just to follow up on your, as long as the second half is good.
Yeah.
So does he not collect the $40 million paychecks in the first half of the season?
Sure he does, but he collects it for a 162-game sample size.
Okay.
Of which he plays a lot. He's on the field, plays good defense, and he's usually a pretty good hitter for a full season.
Hits 242, but he's a great leader. His glove is awesome.
Is he a $40 million leader?
You know what? No, But you know what? You have to overpay if you're the Red Sox at this point.
Suck tax, as Kern calls it. That's the it, suck but... tax. The Sox had to pay a desperation tax, a suck tax, and a need tax, Andy. Yep. Three different taxes. It's a lot of tariffs.
And why do we care about the money? Like, seriously. Like, why all of a sudden are we like, okay,
you know it's how it works. Money creates expectations.
That's good. I want them to be, but, you know, who cares about the money? They needed to spend money. They finally spent money. It's to me, the $40 million is, please, whatever. It's not your money. It's Monopoly money. Just, did you get the guy? Yes. Let's go. Get the horn. Get the
Ted wants the Homer horn.
Let's honk the horn, man. What are we doing here? I don't know. If you got any problem with this deal today, I don't know what to do with you, man.
I don't have a problem with the deal today.
You got to be a miserable person if you're waking up today calling the Red Sox out for this deal.
I'm not calling them out.
I heard a lot of people say, you can only get a three-year deal. Dude, it's two opt-outs, but it's at $40 million. He's not going to opt out. He's not going to probably get $40 million anywhere else when he's the age of 33, which he'll be for 3 years from now. He's not going anywhere for 3 years.
My favorite,
he's staying right here.
My favorite part of the deal is that it's a three-year deal. Those reports that he wanted a seven-year, yep, $210 million deal?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah.
Don't you think the Red Sox would be more amenable to doing deals like this if they were in that 3 to 4 year range and they would overpay if you got shorter deals?
Everybody, I think, except players.
Yeah.
Well, no. Players don't. Players want 10 years and $400 million.
And agents.
And Scott Boras is the world. But absolutely. I've said that forever because it mitigates risk. You can kind of swallow that big chunk of, oh my God, this sucks for a year or whatever. But you don't look down the road and say, wow, we're stuck with this deal for 5 years, for 6 years, for 7 years. But yeah, Fitzy, I think players smartly say, no, that guy got 8 years, that guy got 10. That's what I want. And that's sort of the standard.
Opt-outs
are great too. And Ted, like with a guy like, I looked at the Juan Soto deal, and when everyone else was saying, like, uh-oh, this could go to 12 years, 14 years, it ends up at 15 years. I would have said, instead of 15 years at, you know, $48 million a year, how about this? I'll do an Ohtani-style deal. I'll give you 10 and 70. I'll overpay per year, but I'd rather have you for 10 years knowing I overpaid but got the best deal, as opposed to seeing the husk of your performance sitting on the bench.
I agree with you. I don't want this long deal to, you know, in year 7, 8, 9, 10 of this deal to be the albatross around the team's neck. Why you can't do more to improve the team at that point.
Unless you're the player. The player looks out for himself, and he has leverage, especially in baseball, as much as anything else. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to John in the car. John, what are your thoughts on the Bregman signing?
It's obviously a really big move. I think it's going to go up there in the Red Sox annals, along with great names like Carl Crawford and David Price and Adrian Gonzalez.
What about John Lackey? You forgot him, too.
Why so negative?
Go ahead, John.
Well, isn't he 7 years off his best statistical year, and isn't he on the wrong side of 30, and aren't we paying him, like, basically Aaron Judge money for a third of Aaron Judge's production, and aren't we going to play him at a position he doesn't normally play, and none of this seems to, like, how is this not a big problem for everybody? He hit 26 home runs last year. He's not saving this franchise.
Let me ask you this, John. Did you have a better?
You got him.
What would you have wanted the Red Sox to do at this point? What would you like them to have done? John, are you there?
I don't know if doing a move because you don't have any other moves to do is the best move. I'm just saying. I think this is one of the most overhyped things I've ever heard. I think it's going to end up being really minimal difference one way or the other.
All right, thanks for the call, John. And that's fair. I mean, some of the arguments he made, his best year came in 2019. If you want to use WAR, he was the runner-up to the MVP that year. He led the league in walks. He hit 41 home runs, 112 RBI. He had a great year.
Yeah.
That was his best year. That's just the reality, and that was 2019. That was a while ago, and there may have been some extenuating circumstances involved with that success at that time for that team in that place. I'm not as negative as John. I think John has reason. There is a little bit of me that compares this to Trevor Story. I was never in love with Trevor Story. And John Henry back then got excited. You don't consider Trevor Story a huge contract or something when he signed $120 million over 6 years. And I didn't. It was like, he's a good hitter
in Coors Field.
Right. And this guy.
Splits were terrible.
This guy's a good hitter in Houston, especially 6 years ago. So there are some comparisons there. This is not, it was funny because he went down that road. He set us up. This is going to go down in Red Sox lore. Yeah, like, and it was like, is he going to say Manny Ramirez? Is he going to say, he's going to list some of the guys that didn't really pan out and live up to the investment. And I think it's fair to question some of those things.
I agree. And I'm going to tell you, John, who just called, part of my, if I'm a little bit overjoyed, like maybe Fitzy is a little bit today, part of it, and I want to speak for you, Fitzy, is because the Red Sox made a deal that was, you hadn't seen them make in a long time. And I think I'm just like, okay, they still care about their team. They still care about their fans. I mean, partly, this might just be a reaction to the fan pressure, but good. You know, give us what we want, damn it. And I think part of my excitement is baked into that.
First time, I believe, on the new WEEI Afternoons, Fitzy, we go to Allison in Cambridge. Bring the passion. Allison, what do you think of the Bregman?
Hey, guys. Good evening to all of you. Ted, it's really nice having you here.
Oh, thank you.
I loved you as a player, and I'm very happy.
Thank you.
About that.
Appreciate that.
I'm psyched about it. And one thing that's really, I mean, the fact Alex Cora really wanted it. I mean, I had said that after we didn't keep Xander, I mean, that Alex Cora was the star of the team and the soul of the team. And if he wants Alex Cora, I really trust that. The one reason I would have preferred Nolan Arenado, is that how his name is pronounced?
Yep.
The one reason I would have preferred that is he has to play third, and it would have forced them to get rid of Yoshida. Yoshida was like the worst decision that Chaim Bloom ever made. I mean, that was a decision that he purely did on his own. He wasn't betting against anybody. Everyone thought it was ridiculous, and it was. And he's clogging at the DH spot. And with Nolan Arenado, because then Rafi would move to the DH, and then you have your third baseman. But nobody mentioned with him at the DH, and nobody mentioned Yoshida. And so, with one thing I didn't know when I brought this up the other day with Rod Bradford's show on the weekend, that day after I was off the air, said that you can't do anything to Yoshida because Yoshida's injured. And I had never heard that before. And so I don't know what's up with that. But we can't have him there. I mean, you can't have somebody who's not a power hitter being the DH spot. And it sounds like he's terrible. And I feel like we need great defense for our great pitching. So anyhow, we'll see how it happens. I kind of feel like the game is afoot. And I'm really feeling like we're starting to move forward again.
All right, thanks for the call, Allison. I appreciate it. And I do feel like that is a good way to put it. You're moving forward again.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that they're done. I'm not sure that you're stuck with this specific lineup. And I know nothing. I'm just saying it doesn't feel like this is the last shoe to drop on their offseason. I feel like there could be another move or something to go here. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Kelly in Amherst. Kelly, what are your thoughts on the Bregman deal?
Yeah, so I just wanted to call in response to the call before Allison, the dude that was, it was very funny, he set me up too. But yo, that's some revisionist history trying to say that Gonzo was bad. Adrian Gonzalez was tearing the cover off the ball. Like, yeah, Carl Crawford, for whatever reason, the wheels fell off. He was good before we got him, and all of a sudden he sucked when he got here. That was a bad signing, I guess. But Gonzo was great. Next you're going to tell me Cespedes was a bum too? Like, come on. Gonzo was great. That's all I got.
All right, thanks for the call, Kelly.
He was great, but remember, Andy, he had to go to get rid of Crawford. You had to get rid of Gonzalez. And I think fans and organization alike soured on him.
He wasn't an East Coast guy, He was. Right. He didn't like it here. Right. He wanted to get back West Coast, and that's his
world.
Well,
and he also complained about like ESPN making them play doubleheaders when they had to switch the schedule up a little bit. And
he was soft. He was Gerard Mayo soft. Yeah.
S-A-W-F-T.
But don't you think that there's some of that money baked into this deal, too? Is that I feel like if you're the Red Sox, you're confident Alex can handle the pressure of playing in Boston?
Oh, yeah. The way you people, Alex Cora, Ted Johnson, I'm assuming your boy Sean Pendergast when he joins us at 5:30. The way you people talk about the person, the leader, the competitor, I'll be stunned if he doesn't fit in Fenway and enjoy Fenway, especially this Fenway, this energy that we feel like is returning to Fenway, that it is a baseball town about to be back here in April and May. Now, we'll see how he deals with some adversity if he gets off to a slow start in a new place and how that plays out. But, I'll be stunned if the leader and the person doesn't show up here in Boston, because you guys are basically unanimous. Yeah. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Kevin in the car. I don't think Kevin seems to like this. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the Bregman deal?
Yeah, well, look, why was everybody clamoring for a right-handed bat? Why?
Because they don't have right-handed bats.
Right, and because we got destroyed by lefties, right?
Right.
What did he hit against lefties last year?
Not good.
He has what they call reverse splits, I think is the term.
Yeah.
Right, so how it was like 220 or something. So how does that fix the problem?
And look, it's 3 years.
I wanna be excited. I love getting revamping our bullpen. I love adding pieces to the rotation. We did some good things this offseason, but I'm just afraid that they're going to point to this deal and say, well, look, we're spending $40 million a year on Alex Bregman. Isn't everybody happy? I just don't see that it solves the problem that we had, which was we don't hit lefties. And I just feel like it could have been better spent packaged. We should have gone in on Friedman. We should have gone in on Snell. We should have been in on Corbin Burns. It feels like it's not even a Band-Aid. It feels like this is, hey, guys, we just went and found somebody that has a right-handed bat and paid him a ton of money. I don't think it fixes the problem.
All right, thanks for the call, Kevin. There's a little bit of my mentality there, and I kind of agree with him.
Yeah.
There, if you dig deeper, if you stop with your superficial reactionary excitement, oh, my God, they signed Bregman, he's going to do this, they signed a guy worth $40 million a year, and dig a little deeper, you're like, oh, that's not perfect. Well, that's not ideal either. I feel like we save that till tomorrow. Today's the first day. I feel like the first day is the honeymoon period.
All right.
But Kevin's not wrong. Kevin's not totally wrong, Fitzy.